This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in. It's Sabres Live. We're trying to atone for Monday's performance. So a fresh start here, Marty, on a Tuesday as we get set for Four Nations and for four Amherst games this week.
I'm going to have to Google what atone mean. The tone with which you talked about was we didn't really perform on Monday, so we need to bring
it
up
on
Tuesday.
I got to be better.
You got to be better. Okay. I think it was a great show. I think we did fantastic. We got another great one for you today on Tuesday. That's awesome.
We do. And we have reaction from our conversation yesterday to sprinkle in as far as questions from our audience as it pertains to the current Sabres roster. Buffalo's on the Four Nations break right now. And the Four Nations tournament actually begins tomorrow. But the Amerks are, again, still one of the hottest teams in the American Hockey League. Top three in points percentage, second place in the division, trailing Laval. They'll see the Rocket on Sunday at home, part of this four-game week. Head coach Michael Leone joins us now as they get set for the Monsters in Cleveland tonight. Michael, it's been a very consistent, I would say, year for your team. How would you describe just what you feel you've been able to accomplish as far as relationships with the players and ultimately, you know, where you're at as a team with 28 games to go in the regular season?
Yeah, you know, at first, I'm a young coach. I'm 36 years old. You're always a little nervous going into pro hockey, but there was some things, I think that time where we got to play those NHL preseason games and we did well. Some of the new things were, there was areas of our game, I think, away from the puck that I wanted to implement our, you know, tracking and reloading and things where I thought we could take away time and space in the D zone. And, you know, before we talked at the start of the year, we were playing really good hockey. I think we were really around 500 with a really young group. We were doing really good things. We probably weren't getting rewarded for the amount of chances, but the process was really good. And I thought we talk a lot about managing games, getting out of shifts in the D zone where you're caught out there 30, 40 seconds to make the guys understand we get out of shifts. These are what win you hockey games. And the guys have bought into winning hockey, especially if you look at our numbers in the third period. If we got a lead going into the third period, I think we're 23-1. And guys, there's crucial moments of the game. Understand that when it gets really hard, you got to dig in. And I respect our group a lot and credit them for buying into the new things that we implemented and just, you know, when we're playing fast and we're playing fearless and we're using our skating and we're playing the game the right way, we could really lean on teams. And it's been how consistent the team has been, I can count maybe two times the game in Charlotte. Maybe the game in Wilkes where we weren't great. The compete wasn't there, but for 44 games of the year, our guys have given an unbelievable effort every single night. Our play, I'm a big believer in your play away from the puck. We got skilled guys. So it was my mentality to tell the group, if we're good away from the puck and we can pressure with our skilled group, you're going to have the puck more. So it's kind of my way of getting them to buy into playing this way. And they've been a great, great job and getting up for, there's certain games in the schedule you got to get up for that are like this week. You know, Cleveland gets two guys down from, you know, with the Four Nations break, and tonight's going to be a really fast, hard game, and we got to play a certain way. And the game plan going in, the guys have stuck to it. And I really appreciate the effort, especially, like I said, like when they're, the game's on the line and we got to really manage it and take care of the puck and get out of shifts and our line change detail, the things that it takes to win. The guys have done an unbelievable job buying into that.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about forwards this season because we've had Tyson Kozak, Jiří Kulík, we've had Zach Rozan, we've had guys getting called up and play games and their impact. But my first question to you is more about the defense. The Sabres have 8 on their roster, so it hasn't really been opportunities to get called up. But I think of Sevi Komarov, Novikov, Ryan Johnson. I think people in Buffalo would want to know, where are they at and how is their season going individually? I know the team aspect of it, but individually, those three, where have they been?
Yeah, they've been fantastic. Ryan Johnson arguably is probably our most consistent player all season. The way he could defend, kills time and space. He moves the puck quick when he's playing an efficient game. It'd be nice to see him score. He hasn't scored yet. He's probably got gazillion opportunities. empty nets, just he's done a great job. And if you look at Novi, I mean, he had a big summer. I didn't get to coach him. He's defending against speed really well. I think he's struggled before. I think he's plus 24, 25. Great on the penalty kill. He's hard to play against. He's done a great job for us. And then Comey has great offensive instincts. It's a huge jump from the Quebec Major Junior League to, it's almost going up two levels to pro hockey. And he's done a great job. He provides secondary offense, and his game is really coming around.
So the one that's not, connected, if you will, to the Sabres because he's on an AHL contract, doesn't have an NHL deal, is the quiet, consistent production of Zach Metsä. What have you seen in him? I mean, until, it flip-flops, but I mean, on any given night, he's leading the American Hockey League in assists.
No, he's been incredible. He's done a really good job on our power play. He gets us out of our zone quick. He has the ability to see plays developed. He provides offense from the blue line, when to pick his spots, when to get involved in the offense. He's been exceptional for us this year. And sometimes I don't really look at the numbers a lot, but he's top 3 in the AHL in scoring. But I really appreciate his effort too for defending for a smaller defenseman, killing plays with his feet and wanting to be first on the puck in the D zone. And he's done a great job for us. And our defending all year is probably been an identity pillar for us. And everybody committed 5-man units, and our D have done a great job. When you look at our forward group of, I think they know how skilled and fast we are. If they move the puck quick, sometimes you get second assist coming from your own zone, and they've done a really good job of that. And he's had an incredible season.
Okay. What about a guy like Levi, who went to the All-Star game, and most people in Buffalo are hoping that he has an impact with the Buffalo Sabres, but where is his learning curve at now? The experience to be able to say, okay, I'm going to put the team on my back for this game. And the game adjustments that now he's made from, the start of season to now, where do you see Devon Levi's game at that's going to continue to trend for success?
Yeah, Mark, that's interesting you brought that up. Seamus and I have talked about his growth in his game, where, things kind of get chaotic in the D zone or penalty kill situations, to get those, get stops, get whistles where there's not that second, third opportunity at the net front of his game, of calming the game down and when it gets hectic. And I thought his last game against Belleville, the things that Shamo's been working on him with about those situations where it's maybe a shot from the point and you got to get a whistle so we can get a change, or on the penalty kill of putting a puck in the corner and not in the areas of, you know, those slot chances that you could give out to where. And I thought he's done a great job of that. He's working really hard. And then, you know, he's the guy in the net. Both goalies have been great, but like this week is a great example where we got, he's probably going to get 3 out of 4 and we're playing big time opponents. I think it's great for your development to try to get, you know, three wins in a week of those big time moments where you're playing a lot and you got to be really good. And last game was a great example. There was, you know, a couple saves were up 2-0 in the penalty kill situations where he makes a save that allows the game not to get to 2-1. We keep the lead. We get a third one late, and he's been great for us. He's working really hard, and we're lucky to have him here.
So you mentioned Cleveland and them getting players back. You have Kozak back in the mix tonight, by the looks of it. And you have Hellenius on the wing. This is obviously a player that everybody's really interested in. What does this do? Let's focus on maybe Hellenius first. Like, why on the wing for a little run here lately?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for Helly, I think sometimes the responsibility as center, especially the way we want to play in pro hockey in the division that we play in, it gets overwhelming at times. You know, the responsibility that he has away from the puck. And I think this, we've been playing him a lot at center. He's going through a tough time like any 18-year-old player in the AHL with responsibility away from the puck. And I think it just freed him up a little more. Now, with him playing with Yabo, there's a lot of situations where Helly's taking the faceoff on the left side, whoever's first back in the D zone. And the way we play in the D zone, there's a lot of switches. Whoever the low forward is, there's a lot of reads that you have to make. But I think it just frees him up a little bit. I don't want to speak for the Buffalo guys, but kind of, you know, when Tage moved over to the wing out of the center, it kind of freed him up a little bit to get his, you know, shot at attempt shots on net. And I think that's a little bit with Helly of what we've done. And just the responsibility is a lot different from the winger than the center. We asked a lot of the centers, and it worked out last game where, you know, he went to the wing, he scored his first goal in some time. And it's just every player is going to go through it, but I think it just kind of, like I said, frees him up a little bit to have more time and space and skate a little bit more on the wing up and down the sheet of how we want to play. And we'll eventually get him back in the middle. But it's also, you know, you're running your and then you look at the centers we have. It's, you know, we have Posey, Dunner in the lineup tonight, Noah. In Yabo, part of my job is also managing that of who we're playing with who. And now that, you know, this is probably the first time all year where we have a completely full lineup of, you know, there's some guys out of the lineup tonight that are having career years that have been probably our most important players, our depth players of what they've done for our team. You know, I think we have close to 25 goals from our fourth line or third, fourth line, whatever you want to call it. So it's just managing that of playing guys with certain guys. But I think it's good for him, frees him up a little bit. And then every game's different, but he will get him back in the middle at some time.
A lot has been talked about like a lefty righty defense pair and, you know, how that maybe is more efficient. But I, you mentioned the center position, and you talked about Tage Thompson going to the right wing. Well, Yuri Kulik is a left-handed shot in the middle of the ice. So when he has the puck, he's looking over to his right side, and there's Tage. And he's giving it to him, and then Tage enters the zone and has the shot. Do you consider that when you're maneuvering your lineup, like lefty, righty, center, who's playing on either side? Like, is that a big part of how you look at it?
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. We try to, when we talk about the lineup, to have someone that, you know, can go get the puck. You know, someone's got to be, then you got your guy who could shoot the puck, and then you got a guy that's a cerebral guy. But in my perfect opinion, I'm probably old school in a way. I think it's really, really important to have the lefty-righty, especially on the back end, just exiting the zone. And things like that. Sometimes you just don't with the hands you have. But I think it is, we have the ability, you know, Rosie and Rusek, guys that could play both offsides and they're comfortable with it. And they're, Rosie's played offside all year. Roos has played where they can make plays off of entries off of both sides. So it's a luxury to have. But I do think it's really important to have more the identity piece, like who's going to go get the puck, who's the brains, who's the shooter on the line. And that's kind of how we usually set up the lineup.
You get excited when Rusek shoots the puck?
Yeah.
He doesn't shoot that often.
Oh, you should see at practice. I mean, we almost celebrate like it's a goal when he I mean, he's probably one of the most gifted passers I've been around. His vision and the way, I wish he would shoot more, especially in the power play. It's almost like they give him like almost breakaways, but he makes these plays. It just manipulates, and I wish he shot more. There was one in Belleville where he had like a one-time top shelf, and we all looked at each other on the bench like that. It was almost like the goalie scored. Like it was, we couldn't believe it. but he's been great.
I'm glad you said what you said, because it's actually indisputable. Since he's been in Amherst, he has been the best passer and creator that has been in the lineup the last number of years. The shooting is hilarious, because the way you just described, there are many times where Don Stevens will catch himself in the moment like, oh, Rusek needs to shoot the puck there. So I love the fact that it's kind of obvious, but you clearly, and his line mates play off of him incredibly well.
Yeah, and we usually try to, like when he's playing with someone that could shoot the puck or score, he'll find it. But it's almost, you would understand why he doesn't shoot. He almost has like a mini stick. It's up to like his stomach. And it's like, it must be like 150 flex, because he cuts it down so much. And we kind of know it's coming, but there's sometimes in the game where it's like a grade A and we're like, just shoot it, please. But no, he's been great, especially the play he made before we went into All-Star break, 6-on-5, drew guys to him. He just has a unique ability to see plays develop and, you know, not just make plays, but put them in positions where our guy can execute.
We've been asking people on social media one word to describe the Four Nations face-off. So I'll ask you the same question, but I also ask you as a hockey fan and, you know, a coach, are you going to be watching when you have a minute to be able to see what's happening in those, the first time in a while that we have, well, best on best? It's not technically best on best because you're missing a lot of players, but at least the McDavid and the Matthews and, you know, the Dahlins and those guys playing in an international sort of tournament.
I think it's, everybody has their opinion. I think it's awesome, because I, as a coach, you want to see the best on best, the high stakes environments where the game's probably going to be played at a level higher, almost like an NHL playoff game. And I just think it's awesome, too, to watch as a coach of how that game is played, how coaches manage certain guys, all the skill guys. There's a lot of things that you could pick up. And then, obviously, I'll probably get a lot of heat for it because I'm a U.S. kid, but I played for Coop, and my loyalty is always to him. So I'll get a lot of stuff for that, but I'll be pulling for Team Canada.
Who do you think he's going to pick as a starting netminder? That's the big question in Canada today. Is it Aiden Hill or Jordan Binnington? I don't think it's Montembeau, but who do you think he picks?
If I had to guess, I would say Binnington. I just think the Coop's a big like gamer, and I think Binnington, both guys have won, but like I just would fall under the line of, I think he would. I can't speak for him, but I think Binnington will be the guy.
Awesome.
What do you think?
Well, I would go with Aiden Hill, but the more I talk to people this morning around, you know, the practice setups and everything. They mostly think it's going to be Binnington. And really, I just did a power ranking of the 12 goalies, and I have Binnington 10th out of the 12. So I'm like, that may not be the right approach. Maybe Coop is going to text me later and say, thanks for that, Marty.
Yeah, and I look at their – I just want to see those guys, like the depth guys of that team, like the Jarvises and the Hagels and the Rellies, those guys, like dog on a bone mentality. Like I like those guys, the Sam Bennetts, and it'll be a really interesting tournament to see, and I can't wait to watch.
Yeah, I have to admit, when I revisited Canada's roster yesterday, I almost – said it doesn't matter who plays in goal. Like I really like the way their roster is constructed. Michael, good luck tonight and the rest of the week. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy vacation.
Thank you. It's kind of a vacation for sure. But not for the Amerks this week, Marty. Holy cow, no. They have just an incredibly busy stretch. Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the games on the weekend. I mean, you're home on Friday night, and you're in Utica Saturday, and then on a 7 p.m. start, and then home on Sunday against Laval, 3 p.m.
Yeah, and Laval's the best team.
Laval doesn't have a game after Wednesday, so there you have Thursday, Friday, Saturday to get ready for that, but now, after just talking to Coach Leone, it's like it's not about like the potential irregularity or imbalance in the schedule. It's about opportunity. It's about it's about finding, you know, the right combinations and everything to have these guys absolutely ready, almost like you're building towards Sunday, right?
Well, and also, I think if you're Michael Leone and you're talking to players, you said, hey, this is an opportunity. So the Rochester Americans are three points back of Laval. Now, they have the same amount of games played. By the time they meet on Sunday, Roch will have played a couple more games, right? Because that's just the way the schedule. But you're saying, that's our opportunity. We win our games. We're going to be ahead of them by Sunday, and then we beat them Sunday. We're going to be separating ourselves. And Laval's the best team in the AHL. Rochester's right there. It's one of the best teams in the AHL. By the end of the weekend, you have four games, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You could be first in the AHL when you look at the points, and that's the challenge. And I think that you can look at it two ways. It's a busy schedule, or, man, what an opportunity.
Yes.
And we mentioned that Devin Levi will probably play three out of four. What an opportunity for Devin Levi to say, I'm putting the team on my back. He said, we have our full lineup, and they could put players in and out and make sure that by the time they play Laval on Sunday, they're still fresh. Because maybe Saturday you make a couple change. Maybe Sunday you make a couple change. You
100%.
Have so many good things happening as a coach. That's what you want to see. They have opportunity.
So many players right now not able to go tonight because of the sheer numbers with Kozak coming back specifically. But, I would assume that Slagert doesn't get in tonight. He's one that was being alluded to there as far as having a career year. You've made acquisitions recently to have a little depth, and you had Obe Kubel come down. So it jams things up, but it enriches the lineup so much that it affords you this flexibility. We talk a lot about, the key contributors, the young future Sabres that are key contributors. But there's always that conversation, not so much an argument to be made about, winning and what it can do to like walk into pro hockey and just be at a level where you're good as a team and or you're expected to win, right? It's not the be all and end all. We understand that. But what I think Coach Leone has done is quite remarkable when you consider that they're the best offensive team in the Eastern Conference. They're third best overall and by a fraction. Like, and when you think about it, they're not having like huge years from the youngest players like Helenius and Östlund, and even Yops took a long time to get going. But here they are as one of the top offensive teams in the league. Devin Levi didn't start the year with them, right? Mm-hmm. Or did he? He did.
Well, no, he was up in Prague with he played a few games and then
came in
2 weeks in.
So they're eighth in goals against in the league.
Yes.
Pretty good.
Really
penalty
good.
Penalty kills 10th. The power play's 14th. If you scrub the first like 10 games of the year, like the power play was a disaster. Like since then, they've been top 10 in the league. Their shots for, their shots against, like none of it is like fluky. And I just think it's so cool to see when you have kind of the turnover at coach and then, you know, kind of your next wave of high draft picks that have been able to do this and step in and especially the blue line. You asked right up about the blue line.
Yeah.
That was one of the more intriguing parts of the season was like, what's Novikov going to look like in his second year? What's Komarov going to look like in his first year? And what was the default answer? Ryan Johnson.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say the default answer. The first answer from Leone, and it makes sense. That's why Ryan Johnson gets called up, right?
But what I like best is that, like, Michael Leone's talking about how, you know, guys that are having career years and, you know, pushing, you know, for, you know, the team aspect and playing together. He's joking about Lucas Rusek, who has a mini stick and won't shoot the puck, but everybody's having a lot of fun. But when it needs to be serious, it needs to be serious. They won 7-4 a week and a half ago against Utica, and you were the first one to point out, like, he was not happy after the game because that was – Utica is last in their division, one of the team that's not having a good year, and this was not the type of game – this is not the level that was to be expected. And despite the fact they won 7-4,
right,
he wasn't happy about it. And then what did they do? Well, the next game, they won 4-1. Against Syracuse, a really good team, a really good game. And then they beat Syracuse again in OT, and then they beat Belleville 4-0 in a very tight game that was 2-0. He mentioned, you know, Devin Levi not giving up that next goal. Like, the response was there. You win 7-4, you send the message, and then you have three really good team wins after that.
They've won 5 in a row. Not the hottest team in the division. Laval's won 7 in a row. Yeah. That's why this whole thing builds towards, you know, just a terrific opportunity to see some great hockey on Sunday afternoon in Rochester. Obviously, Valentine's Day, Friday night. First opportunity. They're on the road tonight in Cleveland. Should be great. And we appreciate Coach Leone and his time. So, Marty, we're less than a month away from the next Sabres road crew.
Yes.
It's happening in Fort Lauderdale. And I'm going to entice people with nicknames. Sneaky Ooh. Pete.
Yes, I know that guy.
Batman.
Know that
guy. King Kong.
Yeah.
Tickets.
Yeah.
Dart. According Dart. To Hockey Reference.
Yes.
That's Don Edwards. I was going to call him Jockey because he self-proclaimed himself as that when he came into the NHL.
He said he was a little jockey.
40 pounds or whatever.
Yes. Yes.
What is Randy Moeller's nickname?
I don't know. Did you look on Hockey Reference for that one?
I saw nothing on Hockey Reference.
And also, Rob Ray, and the only nickname on Hockey Reference is obviously Razor. So mm-hmm. Razor will be there too.
Right. So that's a portion of the list of alumni that will be in attendance. Road Crew Party, Lauderdale, March 7th, 6 p.m. Tickets are $20. Can't wait to see you there. Sabres.com/roadcrew. Marty's Four Nations Tee Up coming up on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I could be the dumbest person I know.
What'd you
do? Welcome back on Sabres Live. Well, look at me. Am I not like squinting the entire, like, what do I typically wear on this show?
A
ball cap.
Yeah.
Like, any beautiful connection I've had with New Era the last dozen years is probably out the window because I'm not rocking a New Era cap while staring directly into the sun today. This is so dumb. Anyway, so apologize.
You look good. Got good coloring. I like that. You know, the sun is bringing a nice shade of
Thank you.
Of skin.
of rosiness. Yeah. 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 Well, feel like it's going to be about 40 and cloudy for the next week and a half in my life. So I'm going to absorb as much of this vitamin D as I can today.
Well, enjoy the vitamin D. Okay. So
yeah, you got some follow-up to yesterday, right?
Yeah, great chat with Michael Leone in the first 20 minutes of the show. If you missed it, we'll probably post some, and you can go on the app and be able to rewind and all of that. But the Odyssey app, I should say, and rewind because it's on WGR as well as MSG.
YouTube? But, will this land on YouTube, Jeff?
Jeff, we have the interview on YouTube. Maybe we'll put it on YouTube. It was great. I love his. You know, he's a talker. Michael Leone is a talker. But I was going to say, he processes everything in every answer, and it's great. There's a lot of knowledge there. It's awesome. So one of the thing we asked people yesterday is, how do you think the team will be different in 2 weeks from now, after the Four Nations face-off? And what would you do? We talked Bo Byram a lot yesterday. You know, there's somebody on social media, and I'm trying to find it again. I was like, I agree 100%. Sign him for $7 million per year. You know, that is the type of partner that Dahlin has been best with. Like, there's a lot of decisions that need to be made. One of the comments, Duffer, was we need to find ourselves a number one center. And look, Yuri Kulik is done well, but if Tage is going to play the wing, and Michael Leone talked about Tage unlocking the shot attempt volume and everything on the wing, maybe that's a priority. Who do you have playing number one center? I think Kulik can do the job, but that means, okay, well, maybe you need a number two center, like a top six center, maybe a search for the Sabres in the next few weeks here. So that's one of the comments that we've had here on social media yesterday after the show.
Yeah, that's a tricky one, based on where they've been at that position and what was lined up, over the last couple of seasons based on contract extensions for Tage and for Cousins.
Yes.
I can't imagine anybody was thinking we would be having this, and I don't even know whether we should be having it, if that makes any sense. Because I'm still thinking of Tage as a center. Like, I'm sorry. But you clearly aren't.
I'm starting to question. And look, Tage Thompson in the last, 18 games, I believe, was on pace for over 100 points.
He scored 47 as a center.
Exactly. But then I'm like, he did have 94 points and 47 goals as a center.
Right.
Like, it's
we're splitting hairs
impressive.
Here. Like, he's not an all-world new superstar because of a shift to the wing. He's the same production as he was at his best as a center, which always comes down to full health, which I don't know how much Tage has had of that in the last year and a half to 2 years. Post his massive season, and he still continues to produce on average, well over 30 goals a year.
Do you like Yuri playing with Tage?
If I like
Yuri playing with Tage, then Yuri's a center, and I'm like, do I want Yuri on the wing, or do I like Tage on the wing better? Right, that's the thing.
It's just such a small sample size for a very young player that I'm not going to sit here and boldly say Yuri should be in that position. You have games like you hit the last one against Nashville, and that's a reminder of where you're at. But guess what?
Probably could have won that game anyway.
But you can, and you could have a line of 30, 31, and 32-year-olds have the exact same type of game in the NHL.
It happens. Yes.
It happens. It doesn't matter what the age is. It doesn't matter how many games you've played.
Yes.
So I don't want to make too much of it. But I also don't want to get too far ahead of it from Yuri's standpoint. And that's why, because we know what we've known from Thompson and his ability to play the middle. I think, I'm assuming a large part of how yesterday's conversation evolved was the still pending trade deadline this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets the brain working overtime. And what, if anything, are you wanting to do if you're the Sabres hockey operations department? And that includes everyone.
Well, Jason asked over here, Duffer, because it is part of a trade thing. He said, would you consider trading Cousins for a guy like Zacha in Boston or Vilardi in Winnipeg? Number one, I don't think the Jets would trade Vilardi right now. He's been really good with them, and I don't think the Jets are going to do a whole lot. Maybe add a depth, but, like, they're a really good team. And Zacha, Boston, I don't know. Is he a top six center? Is he basically what Cousins is getting? What else are you getting? Because if I'm trading Dylan Cousins for Zacha, I feel like I need something else in return. So that's what the hiccup is. But I'm like, if you're going to trade Dylan Cousins, you better be getting something really good in return. And right. I don't think Zacha is good enough. And I think Vilardi's a wing. Sabres have tons of wing. So I'm not looking at those two in particular. I want something way better than that.
Well, I mean, just to put it into a little bit more context, if we're going to be talking about where they're at organizationally at the center position.
Yeah.
On the heels of just having Michael Leone on with us in the first segment. I guess if you're feeling as good about Jiří Kulík as you are right now, I would be curious to know what your what your projected timeline is for Noah Austlin, Konstantin Hellenius, and whether you see them as centers on the Sabres team in the reasonably near future. Obviously not this year. I get that. So,
yeah, I would think that the Sabres, and I would probably be higher on Konstantin Hellenius than on Hoslin right now. Like, Hellenius 18. So, even if he was, like, to say in 2 years, he's ready to come and be a full time NHL player, he's only 20 years old at the time. Hoslin is 20 right now. So,
same as Jiří.
Same as Jiří, exactly. And I think that in 2 years from now, the difference between 20 and 22 is a lot greater than the difference between 18 and 20, in my opinion. So I would like
in a positive
like
or negative, like in what do you mean?
I think
that
you make bigger strides between 20 and 22 in your body and your maturity and your experience level. Maybe it's because most 18-year-olds don't play in the AHL. And maybe Konstantinos is gonna have a great, you know, separation from an 18-year-old to a 20-year-old. And I think Konstantinos is probably the guy that I would like to see first arrive on the scene. But with age-wise, I think it's probably more likely to see Noah Austlin as a 22-year-old being, like, in a 2 years from now time frame, being a regular Sabres and having a bigger role, maybe even as a third line center, and work his way up in the lineup.
Well, that's a fair point because his attention to detail in all areas is what makes Ostlund a really, I think, attractive prospect. Coach Leone can't say enough about him everywhere on the ice. So that's a real credit to him to be able to have established that already here in North American Pro. So, I think that's a really fair idea as far as potential placement within a Sabres lineup, that you're not expecting, even considering that, oh, like, here's a situation. We need somebody to fill in. Let's put them on the top line between Thompson and JJ or whatever.
Yeah.
You're not, that's not what you're doing here with Noah Austlin in the immediate future, I wouldn't think. Anyway,
it's not what you're doing with Austlin, and I think there's also, okay, you're looking at, well, Cousins is still considered young in the middle of the ice.
Of course.
Kulík is young, and you added Ryan McLeod, and I'm like, you have Peyton Krebs, who's still considered young. I know, years ago, you know, the saying around Buffalo was, you know, young is getting old. Young is getting old. We're not young, but they're still young. You look around the NHL, like, playing the center position in top two lines is not a 20-year-old job usually. It's hard to play that position. Mm-hmm. But I think the Sabres are still young. So going to the next step with the Sabres may be more responsible to go a little older. So now you're looking at Noah Oslin and saying, will he be fitting what you want to accomplish in 2 years from now? Are you going to be trying to get a little older and you may need a little younger, fresh kind of legs into the lineup? But I don't think it's going to be as a impact player. I think it's going to be as a supportive cast more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else from yesterday you want to empty out before you get into your Four Nations?
From yesterday, I mean, obviously, you know, there's a lot of people that would like to see some moves being made, but moves are hard to be made right now. And we all know that there's so many teams in the Eastern Conference, especially, that think they have a chance at making the playoffs. So, you know, there's a lot of teams that are going to wait until the last second. So I don't think the team is going to look much different in 2 weeks other than adding players from inside. And somebody said they'll be more physical because of the impact of Jordan Greenway. I think Greenway plays Saturday the 22nd against the New York Rangers. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to see a big difference in this game. So that may be the biggest impact that I see and that some of the people see on social media as well.
Not to be a downer here on this kind of stuff. Greenway coming back in. The reality is they were under 500 when Greenway was in the lineup. So these, to me, are fair questions. Like,
yes.
what impact can whoever, Greenway, anybody coming back into the mix, like, what's realistic? This is why I was cautious, to say the least, yesterday when talking about extending players. Because at the end of the day, what should matter most is what these players were able to do to get you to a record that has you where your goal was this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, right? you talk about Jordan Greenway, and you're right. You know, with Greenway, yes, was there an impact? Yes. Did Lindy Ruff like a player like Jordan Greenway? Yes. Was mm-hmm. the record, like, where you would want it to be with Greenway in the lineup? No. And I mentioned yesterday that you're getting 9 goals from Quinn, 11 goals from Cousins, 4 from Krebs, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. like 15 from Paterka, which, okay, JJ Paterka, if playing with Kulik and Thompson and getting more offense, maybe he gets to 25 to 30. Which,
well, he's going to get 60 points, which will be by far a career high.
Which is great.
That's great.
Okay. But Greenway only had 3 goals in 20 games and only 7 points. Like, there's an impact that Jordan Greenway can bring to the ice. And I think there is a responsibility factor, a penalty killing factor, a physical factor. But it's not all of a sudden you're not going on a 10-game winning streak because you're getting 5.5 goals per game because Jordan Greenway's on the lineup. But I'd rather have Jordan Greenway in the lineup than not.
Yes.
And so how much does it move the needle? That's kind of like what we're trying to measure.
Right. And I think you've just kind of said it without saying it. Like, there are certain pieces that, you know, from a hockey op standpoint, you're going to feel like we need to have this piece. So then when we add this piece, we're going to have the proper balance. And that's obviously been a challenge this year. They just, you know, they haven't had it yet. Now, speaking of rosters that are stacked, that would be the ones that belong to the Four Nations who are competing in the face-off that starts tomorrow. Marty's Rapid Fire Four Nations segment is next on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, Marty, time to rapid fire our way into teeing up the Four Nations, perhaps Sabres style. You got a
Sabres style. We'll start with Rasmus Dahlin. Team Sweden is stacked on defense. I mean, they got Victor Hedman playing with Brodin, Mattias Ekholm playing with Erik Karlsson, and Rasmus Dahlin playing with Gus Forsling. Rasmus Andersson, the great Calgary Flames, Rasmus Andersson, is 7th on that list right now. So I'm looking at Dahlin having a big impact for Team Sweden, who has a great defensive core. Henry Jokiharju and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen with Team Finland. It's going to be tougher for Team Finland. Jouki Aarjo is playing with Mikkola on the backhand. They're like scheduled to be the second pair, like top four. So he's going to get a lot of ice time, but they've gotten a lot of injuries back there. And I don't know if UPL is going to see any action. I think it's a battle between Soros and Kevin Lankinen when you look at the net for the Buffalo Sabres netminder.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think we would have thought that necessarily a month ago.
With what, a battle between Lankinen and Soros, you mean? Or
yeah, I think, I the numbers are what they are for Luukkonen right now. I think it's not entirely reflective of his season. Obviously, we talk about this a lot as far as, you know, the quality that they give up, the expect, you know. But I don't know. I still have a funny feeling Lukanen's going to play a little bit more of a role here.
It depends how the games goes, right? And what you're looking at. Look, you see Soros.
I mean, there's not many games, so I guess I should probably pump the brakes.
There's three games, But you see Soros has not had a good season. And in his last five games, he's 0-5. With a .881 save percentage. Like, it's not been good for Jussi Saros. So that's interesting. Yeah. And Team Sweden won't announce their starting netminder for tomorrow night's game against Canada. So we'll see if it's going to be Gustafsson or Ullmark. I think it's probably going to be Gustafsson, but maybe Ullmark gets a nod.
Amerks are in action in Cleveland tonight. Our thanks to Michael Leone for joining us. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again tomorrow. Sabres Live.